Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate and always respectfully and most of the time optimistically. So let's look around. What have we got to be optimistic about right now? Well, not much. Fires are burning all over the earth, flooding and storming. Things are drying up, choking on fumes and toxins. Let's just take the Methow Valley, for instance. Right now, they're pretty much smoked out. Business is dead. People are hunkered down in their houses trying to get away from the smoke the best they can. And it's been that way for a long time. Even longer if you're there living in it. There's fires raging all along the western states and up into Canada. Big fires. Greece and Turkey are burning. Big fires in Israel, Iran. Siberia is burning. 1,000-year floods in China and Germany. We got the Dixie Fire going down in California right now, the second largest fire in the history of California, and maybe soon the largest. And of course, most of the big fires in California history have happened in the last 20 years. Not looking good. Two fires burning in Okanagan County have burned a total of 87,000 acres as I speak right now. Massive ice melts in Greenland. We had a record-setting heat wave here a month or so ago. Back in the 60s, we used to say you don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind is blowing. You don't need to be a specialist or have special expertise to know that our climate is changing and not for the better. We have a massive evidence, understandable by the layperson, that the Earth is warming and it's having an impact on our climate. Well, I said there is cause for optimism, and you've heard me say it before. The cause for optimism is we know why the climate is changing. It's because of greenhouse gas emissions primarily. And knowing that, we know what the solution is. So that's the good news. We know the cause and we know the solution. Too much carbon dioxide and its cousin methane going out into the atmosphere along with a small amount of really nasty gases that punch way above their size in terms of greenhouse gas effects. And of course, that's just setting aside the toxins and the particulate matter that comes from burning of fossil fuels, which causes deaths, premature deaths, and illnesses all around the world and right here at home. So I might be forgiven for thinking that given the realities that we're looking at, that our species would be falling all over itself to do something about what's going on to minimize the damage and to create a better future, a more livable world for those who are going to follow us. And if that were my assumption, I would be sadly mistaken, because we're pretty much just doing business as usual. Oh, sure, there's lots of talk and goals are set. And one thing that matters, though, is whether we can get to carbon neutral. And we aren't even really making significant steps in that direction. We aren't. Check out the Keeling curve. Look it up on the internet. It's a chart of carbon dioxide emissions over the last 50, 60 years, taken directly down in Hawaii. They've also tacked on carbon concentrations in the atmosphere from the last 800,000 years from ice cores. Just take a look at that, especially the more recent one, and you can see that our carbon dioxide emissions are not going down. They continue to go up. In fact, the rate of increase is increasing itself. Not good. Now, I just want to toss out in this big picture of what I'm calling not good, there are bright spots. There are people working very hard, very diligently, and very wisely to wake our species up to what's going on and to start taking steps towards addressing the catastrophe that we're in the early stages of, which is only going to get worse as time passes. The unfortunate thing is, right now, those voices, there aren't enough of them, and they're not being heard. So I'm going to talk about that a bit here. There's a major event coming up in November. It's in Glasgow in Scotland, and it's called COP26, the Conference of Parties. You'd have to work for the UN to come up with a name like that for a climate conference. But anyway, there you go. Before we look at COP26, let's just take a quick peek back at the Paris Climate Agreement of 2015. This was an agreement, I'd say it was much ballyhooed, that countries around the world were taking global warming, carbon emissions seriously. They were going to start doing something about it. They're going to do significant things about it. They were going to assist poor countries, which, let's be real here, it's pretty crazy to think that poor countries that aren't contributing to the problem are going to bear the biggest amount of the pain of the problem in terms of them not having the resources that we do to adapt to a changed climate. So anyway, the Paris Accord, and forgive me for saying this, but I've got to say that the rhetoric around the Paris Accord, in retrospect, is the next best thing to laughable. A couple countries have met their commitments, their promises. Most countries have not. Some countries have fallen drastically short, have failed to live up to any of their promises. What do we teach our kids when they're growing up? If you make a promise, keep your promise. As a species, we're not keeping our promises about climate change. And how are we doing? Well, we're amongst the worst. We're grossly failing in meeting our Paris Climate Accord agreements, our promises. Now, as Americans, we're accustomed to thinking of ourselves as the good guys in the world. Well, it's pretty hard for me to see how we're the good guys in any of this. Per capita, we produce more carbon dioxide right now than any other country in the world. Yes, China does produce more carbon dioxide than we do, and yes, that's a problem. But per capita, their carbon dioxide production is about one half of what ours is. And don't forget that about 8% of their carbon dioxide production is spent making stuff and shipping stuff to us. So really, we kind of own that pollution, that carbon dioxide production. Well, according to the Paris Accord, the goal was to limit temperature increase to well below 2 degrees centigrade from pre-industrial levels. We're already 1 degree above pre-industrial levels. In fact, probably about 1.2 at this point, and hopefully 1.5, to limit to 1.5. Well, those efforts have fallen way short, and right now we're on track to increase global temperatures by 3 degrees centigrade. Of course, that increase doesn't happen equally all over the world. You know, it might be up 2 degrees in Saskatchewan, and it might be up 5 or 6 degrees in sub-Saharan Africa. Now, full disclosure, I'm basically glad that we've got a change of administration since the previous one, and I do think that it's very clear that they're taking climate change more seriously than the previous administration did, but that's only part of the story. The folks who produce the fossil fuels are a powerful, diligent, and concentrated bunch. They're taking care of themselves. And one of the things that's happened recently that's got my hair on fire is that there's a company called Arch Resources, and they've talked the Biden administration into giving them royalty relief for taking coal off of federal land. Royalties are basically what the businesses pay to the federal government, i.e. to us, through the Treasury for taking resources off of federal property. So a couple of mines they've got, coal mines, one of them they reduced it from 12.5%, a royalty rate of 12.5%, to 2%, a like six-fold decrease in a time when we should be raising the price of fossil fuels, not cutting the price of fossil fuels. And another one of their mines, it was reduced from 12.5% to 5%. And, you know, response from the Biden administration about why they did this is pretty lame. But for me, it just points out the power and the influence that these organizations have, even in the face of all the bad stuff that's happening. And in the face of having a climate-aware administration, they're still able to wangle good deals for themselves. And those good deals are at the cost of everybody else who has to deal with the emissions from their product. So the World Meteorological Organization has recently announced that global temperature is set to reach 1.2 centigrade of above pre-industrial levels, and there's a 20% chance of the global average temperature exceeding 1.5 degrees by 2024. That would be temporarily exceeding it because it does go up and down a bit, but probably, almost certainly, on our present track, we're going to be above 1.5 by 2030. Okay, COP26 coming up. Is this going to be another, and once again, forgive me for using the term, but is this going to be another fiasco where promises are made and promises are grossly not kept about taking a look at the future and what we're going to do about greenhouse gas emissions. So COP26 has got several stated goals, and let's pay attention to those. Let's pay attention to what they're doing there. And I'm going to talk a bit later on about what we can possibly do to influence outcomes there. So goals for COP26, accelerate the phase out of coal. Coal is just about the nastiest stuff in the world in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, not to mention the particulate matter that is set free when coal is burned. Okay, curtail deforestation. Yeah, they're deforesting down in Brazil, Indonesia, and it's pretty tragic to see those primitive jungles coming down, but that's the way it is. And when I think about it, it's a little difficult for me to throw rocks at them from a purity perspective, because here in the United States, we've cut down almost all of our native forests, and something like 7% of them remain. We need to get trees going again, but certainly the quickest way to get carbon dioxide out of the air is to leave the trees up that we've already got going. Okay, speed up the switch to electric vehicles. Transportation is a major, major source of greenhouse gas emissions. We got to speed up the switch to electric vehicles with concessions via the taxation system and other incentives from governments all around the world. And we have to encourage investment in renewables. These four things are all part of the focus of COP26. So let's keep an eye on them and see how the countries do, A, and what they say they're going to do, and then B, stay on their cases and see if they actually do what they said they were going to do, including right here at home. If we are to slow temperature rise, keep it below 2 degrees centigrade, we have to be reducing our carbon dioxide emissions by 6% a year through 2030. And that's just to give us a chance. That doesn't mean that the job is done in 2030. That just means that we have a chance of being carbon neutral by 2050 and limiting the increase in temperature to 2 degrees centigrade. 6% a year may not sound like much, but bad news, worldwide, we have never done that in the history of the industrial era. Every year, the concentration of greenhouse gases is higher than that same day the previous year. So as citizens, we do have things we can do besides wring our hands or shout at the TV set. I think that it's incredibly important that for many elections to come here in the United States, that we elect representatives and administrations that are climate aware. So we need to be involved with those campaigns. And that doesn't mean just here in Washington State either. Of course, there's always money. Everybody's asking for money. I got to admit that if I sent $20 to everybody that asked me for money, I'd be broke pretty soon. So we can contribute money, but that's a limited thing. We can be members of interest groups. And I do think this is critically important that we do that so that our voices can be magnified and not just lone voices crying out in the wilderness. There are great organizations around the United States here at home that we can join in, and some of those organizations are intent on influencing the outcome of elections, of getting representative senators and administrations elected who have the courage and the smarts and the wherewithal to enact legislation that may go some ways to making the future better in terms of climate. One of those is Common Cause, which I'm working with right now. Do it from my own home, and I can basically what I'm doing is help monitoring social media to ensure that what's being said about our elections, about our candidates, and about climate change, that those things are not disinformation, not misinformation. Another great organization is the Environmental Voter Project, a great way of getting folks out and making a difference in elections. And if we get the right people there, maybe we can get headed in the right direction, and maybe we can start showing some leadership around the rest of the world instead of being somebody who is kind of a leader and not keeping our promises. What I'd suggest is find a platform that works for you and go to work. That's what I'm doing. And always remember that the least effective voice is the voice that isn't raised. Yes, you're just one voice, I'm just one voice, but together we can make a difference. And there's plenty of evidence that shows that that's true. Okay, well, that's it for today. Or is there cause for optimism? Well, you tell me. I'd love to hear from you. John, J-O-H-N, at cclTacoma.org. The CCL is for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. Check it out at cclTacoma.org. It's a good outfit, one place you can go. But also, just saying again, there's lots of good outfits out there. Join somebody. And in the meantime, here I am, as always, reminding you to live like the mountain is out. Take care now.